Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites. Another opening of
another show. August in New York. Well, it means the kids are starting to prepare and pack up for school with pits in their stomachs. It means you probably have to get advice from your shrink over the phone. It means the baseball season is getting exciting, the Yankees and Red Sox and the starring roles on this coast. And for the theater world, well, it means shows closing while others are rehearsing and keeping an eye on which venue may be their eventual home. And it means pop-up shows, ones that seem to come out of nowhere and are not the usual fare, even making you wonder if they qualify as theater. Well, let's start with the ending, so to speak. Those closing notices. Well, first came Bandstand, which I've been expecting since it received only one Tony Award and middling reviews. This was a valiant effort to bring the issue of returning veterans to light, but the script was mediocre and only the dancing really stood out. It reminded me a bit of the short-lived Allegiance a few seasons back. That one dealt with the equally somber subject of how we interned our Japanese citizens during World War II. Indecent, written by Paula Vogel, has officially shut its doors. The musical just couldn't survive when it moved from off to on Broadway a few months back. The Holocaust and lesbianism were also too much in this form, apparently. Combining large issues with song and dance remains a challenge for creators and ultimately theaters that depend on tourists treating themselves to expensive entertainment. It's traditionally worked better with personal crises of a psychological nature, as in Next to Normal, Dear Evan Hansen, Fun Home. But I'm always happy to be contradicted on that. Now, also announcing its closure was Natasha and Pierre and the Great Comet. It turned out this highly energized show really was dependent on the original star, Josh Groban. Once he left, ticket sales plummeted, and then we had the Mandy Patinkin political correctness fiasco, and well, everyone paid a price, except potential ticket holders, apparently. What may be next? Well, keep an eye on 1984 Waitress and War Paint, and you have to wonder why Bill Murray suddenly showed up not once, but 2 days in a row. Ah, a repeat, get it? To see the Broadway version of his popular movie, Groundhog Day. Murray is friendly with the writer of that show, and one has to wonder if this was a publicity ploy to bring attention to the musical, which is by no means a blockbuster, and half-price tickets are probably helping to keep that one going. With On Your Feet closing shortly, I would say there is much less music on Broadway, but I count at least 15 others still going. Now, most of those are familiar titles: Chicago, Phantom, Kinky Boots, Miss Saigon, Mormon, Hello Dolly, albeit with a very snazzy Dolly. And there are the family-friendly shows, Wicked, Lion King, Aladdin, School of Rock, and Anastasia, which should theoretically never run out of new customers. And there is another musical offering just announced that is coming to Broadway in October. This one will stretch the very meaning of the term. That's Bruce Springsteen's latest experiment. Over 8 weeks, the boss will perform five shows a week in what is a relatively intimate setting for him, combining his music, reading from his autobiography, and his own unique storytelling. Tickets go on sale this week, and there are all kinds of safeguards and rules being put in place to prevent StubHubbing and such. Springsteen has been vocal his whole career about everyone having a shot to see his concerts. Nice sentiment, but don't expect these to be priced for the everyday blue-collar worker he so often sings about. While it might be tempting, it's not fair to compare this theatrical gamble to those of Springsteen's contemporaries, Sting and Paul Simon. Yes, they both bombed on Broadway, but they were far, far more ambitious, writing actual musicals about real people and real events. Bruce will be playing Bruce. Another odd piece, non-musical, went up this week. Documentary maker and activist Michael Moore's one-man rant called The Terms of My Surrender. Overall, the critics were not too kind, but we'll see if Moore has enough fans to keep this one going for what is a limited run anyway. Now, of course, there is always risky and unusual fare happening off-Broadway. This week, for example, I saw A Real Boy, written by Stephen Kaplan, playing at 59 East 59 Theaters. This is a heavy-handed but still heartfelt two-act that manages to keep you involved to the end. It tells the story of a kindergarten student, played by a young adult, who becomes caught between his parents and a dedicated teacher who thinks she knows best. That is, after she holds a parent-teacher conference and discovers the human boy is the son of a pair of puppets. The puppets are maneuvered by Brian Michael and Jason Alan George, and they are deft enough that you really do watch the stringed characters and not their handlers. The play is clearly taking on issues like discrimination, bullying, identity, whether a child learns more at home or in the classroom, as well as greedy exploiters trying to get in on the controversy. There have been some much higher end plays featuring puppets in the last few seasons, most notably Hand of God on Broadway. There was also The Oldest Boy at Lincoln Center by Sarah Rule, which used one to play the young son of a very human and conflicted couple. It makes you wonder why puppet and boy are attempting title twosome. I guess it started with Pinocchio. Anyway, let me say right here, Jill, that I am pro-puppet, so I don't want to hear from any politically correct identity group that feels I am not.
politically correct,
And apparently there are out there puppet groups.
Seriously? So,
yeah, I heard that, yes.
Well, okay, so three quick notes. No, four. Good news. Amazing and wonderful that Anastasia is still running and is out there at selling tickets despite a singular lack of, I don't want to say lack, but you don't hear a ton about it. Also, you don't hear a ton about Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
I was just going to mention that. You know, they had great advance sales because families were coming to New York in the summer. And so, you know, they don't read reviews, a lot of people out there.
And the other thing is, you know, they're one of the things, obviously, because theater is quite, especially in straight plays, theater is quite immediate, and that's important. Because you speak of the things that are going on. That's the idea. However, you need joy. You need some joy. You need some fun. You need some entertainment.
Right.
And in a lot of cases, you know, as it just over the years, the things that are lighter fare has lost its in many cases. It's been assumed that what audiences want is to basically just be
Walk out humming and singing and feeling somewhat hopeful.
There is an element of that. You know, if you are in the entertainment business, I think that ultimately you do want, in many cases, your audience to leave feeling happy because they will tell other people to leave feeling happy.
Right.
And I think that does contribute to word of mouth. It doesn't take away from what needs to be said. It's just in thinking and discussing this, that's an element. And I think that there is a discussion to be had somewhere about the artistic component versus the business side, because Natasha and Pierre are a perfect example of that. Now, I have to say, in fairness, I know a lot of people who didn't love the show, who found the show too frenetic or didn't love the show.
I felt the same way, yes.
But I also know that a lot of people were or seemingly enjoying it.
I know, and apparently they were mostly going to see Josh Groban.
Right, so that whole episode of political correctory from a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, we've talked about that. That really brought...
But it ended up with the... And I just really suggest that... You know how there was smokeless tobacco and New Coke, and those are case studies for business schools?
Right.
I really recommend that people look back over that and see whether that could, should, maybe, perhaps have been handled a little bit differently.
Oh, I think it's a case study. I really do. I think it's a case study in PR and branding and getting overly caught up in political correctness, and then a star getting caught in the middle and not knowing the right, you know, it is a case study, I think. And like I said, you know, there are no winners here, and the show went down. Whether that one should, that had a very good run off Broadway as well, but it had a good run here.
Decent enough run that they went to the trouble. I will just say this. They went to the trouble of finding someone to, when it was realized, and again, this is strictly from a business standpoint, when it was realized that Josh Groban was, when they lost him, they lost a revenue center.
Right.
Steps were taken.
They may not have known that. I mean, you look at a musical like Beautiful with the Carol King musical, which is still going, and Waitress, which is also still going. And they both had the same star, by the way. She won for Beautiful. She didn't win for Waitress, but she was nominated. And those shows have survived, even with the star leaving. Now, she's not a star like Josh Groban. But, you know, she had enough of a Broadway kind of name. So certain shows by themselves get a reputation. It's a fun show. Well, Carol King, obviously, is the star of that show, a Beautiful. But even Waitress, you know, which is based on a small movie. So word of mouth. And that was a show that you leave feeling really good, even though it dealt with some pretty dark issues, like an unwed mother, abortion. I mean, it had some issues, but it knew kind of how to bake it into the pie, pardon the expression. And certainly Stephen Sondheim over the years has used music to tell very somber stories. But you know what? They haven't all been financially successful. So we always come back to the business part of show business.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.